It's good to be with you again this morning. Very interested to see the information there about the triathlon. I'd love to join, but it's only a 5K run, so it's not worth my time. So if you can double it all for next year, think about it. I want to read this morning two passages, but the first one, I'll come to the second one in a little while, but the first one is the gospel reading that's set for churches to read today, and it's the parable of the sower from Matthew chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." I'm going to skip to verse 18, where there's an explanation of that parable. Jesus says, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since it has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the one who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." There's an awful lot in that parable. And the only thing I really want us to be concerned with this morning, you can go back to it yourselves at some point later on if you wish. The only thing really I want us to be concerned about today are words like hear and listen. Hear and listen. He who has ears, let him hear. And listen then to what the parable of the sower means. Hear and listen. I'm very interested in the monastic way of life. That's something today that really is, I suppose, in many ways quite alien to us, that monastic way of life. We think about when we think about monks, we think generally about men who are dressed in long robes and hiding away in a monastery somewhere. And that's what they do. They do lots of other things apart from hiding away, but essentially that's what they do. But their way of life has an awful lot to teach us, I think, about how to live our lives as we are out and about in the world around us. And there's a movement going on in the world at the moment called the New Monastic Movement. I don't know whether any of you have come across this term, all about New Monasticism. And this movement is about looking at those old monastic ways of life and reinterpreting them for today. So if you're to go to your computers at some stage and you're to type in new monasticism, you will get loads of responses about communities all around the world that are springing up, that are following those old monastic ways of life, individuals and communities who are following those old monastic ways of life in their own life today, and they are having huge impacts on the communities in which they live. It doesn't matter whether it's one person living a monastic way of life or a group of people living together. Living that something of that old monastic way of life, but they are having really positive impacts in their local communities. So I encourage you to go and read about some of those stories. There's communities right across the states. In England now, there are new monastic communities all over the place. Australia and New Zealand as well have seen a growth in these types of communities and groups of Christians who are coming together with a common cause, and that common cause is to grow the kingdom of God where they are living. New monasticism. And it's beginning here in Ireland as well. There's a group of us that are looking about all of this and how we can take those old ways of life and how they can benefit us for today. And I want to talk about that old monastic way of life, if I can, for just a few moments this morning. To go back to the parable of the sower and those words about hearing and listening. Hearing and listening is at the core of those old monastic ways of life, and so are at the core of these new monastic communities growing up in the world today. Solitude and silence is very, very important for those communities as they seek to listen for the voice of God and how God is directing them in their own communities. And I know a lot of that kind of thing goes on here as well as and has been going on here as you seek to look at your own way forward as a community here at CORE. I remember not long after the very first Sunday that I came and you had a prayer room for a week upstairs, and it was designed for people. It was open all day and designed for people to come in. It was a space that was created for you to come into and others to come into, to be still and be quiet and to listen for the voice of God. Of course, that's a very, very difficult thing to do. Listening and finding opportunity to listen for the voice of God in your own lives. I want you to take a couple of minutes maybe and just in the twos or threes gathered around you to think about the sources of noise that there are in your lives every day. Can you do that just for a couple of minutes? Share with one another about what the sources of noise are for you in your own lives every day. So how are you all doing? I've never known such a large group of people to so quietly talk about the sources of noise in your own life. Maybe I'm standing here and talking to a group of people that have nothing but silence in their lives. You're very quiet. But just as we maybe come back together, I hope maybe in your heads now you've not only for yourselves identified what the sources of noise are for you in your own life, but you'll know what sources of noise there are for other people as well. The noises that there are in your own homes, maybe you know as you're out shopping, going about your daily lives, meeting people, driving your car, maybe it's the radio that's on or whatever, a CD playing, all sorts of sources of noise in our lives every day. But in order for us to be able to move away from those sources of noise, in order for us, and these new monastic communities are finding this, in order for them to be able to listen to the voice of God, listen for the voice of God, in order for us to listen for the voice of God, we have to know what those sources of noise are for us in our own lives. And we need to identify them so that we can move away from them, so that we can create space for ourselves, spaces for solitude in our lives, places where we can encounter God who is always with us. I'm using the word silence and solitude. Silence is one of those words, really, that it doesn't quite fit for me. Silence, I think, is simply a lack of noise, a lack of those distractions. But the word solitude, there's a little bit more activity in the word solitude. It's about moving away from those sources of noise. It's about having peace and quiet and the absence of those sources of noise for us. But in solitude, we're doing something a little bit active because we're intentionally looking for God in the midst of solitude. We know that God is with us constantly in our lives, but as we seek times of solitude, times when we can go away from all of those sources of noise, we're doing that intentionally, so that we can, without distraction, listen to where God is leading us in our lives. We need to be able to hear the voice of God in the midst of our reflections, in the midst of solitude in our lives, so that we can be guided by God, not only as individuals, but as a community, to understand how God is leading us to build God's kingdom where we are, where we live, where we work, in the place that we have in the world around us. And these new monastic communities have solitude and silence right at the heart of them as they seek together to listen to God. It's true for us that we are never alone. God is always present with us, but we have to learn the skills necessary for us to see and know where God is working in the world around us. And having opportunities for solitude helps us to do that. But what do we do with the solitude? Once we're there, once we're listening for the voice of God, what is it that we are trying to do ultimately? One of my heroes of the Christian faith is a lady called Claire. Claire lived in the 13th century. Many of you probably will know about St. Francis of Assisi. You will at least have heard of St. Francis. Claire was a follower of Francis. Claire was born into a noble family. Claire had all the riches and all the privilege that she could possibly have in her day. And she lived in Assisi, in northern Italy, where Francis lived as well. But she was so struck by what Francis had to say about following Jesus. Francis was a man who had a vision for rebuilding God's church at that time. And Claire was so struck by the way of life that Francis taught about following Jesus, that she decided, like Francis, to give up all of her privilege, all that there was that was good about her life, her home, the place where she lived, all the fine clothing and food and all of that that she was privileged to be part of. And she gave it all up to follow the way of life that Francis had identified Jesus as living. And one of the followers of Claire was a lady called Agnes of Prague. She lived in Prague, as her name might suggest. And she too was inspired by Francis and then by Claire. And she too was a woman who came from, in Prague, a very noble family. She lived at a time when in the nobility of that part of Italy, marriages were arranged. And it was arranged for her to be married to a king somewhere. I can't remember who it was. It's not important. But so struck was she by the gospel and by the way of life that she heard Francis was living and that her friend Claire was now living, through letters that Claire sent to her, that likewise Agnes gave up all of the privilege of her life to follow this way of life that Francis and Claire were now living. I'm sure Claire and Agnes wrote to one another an awful lot throughout their lives, but we have remaining today four letters that Claire sent to Agnes. And in the first of those letters that we have still existing today, Claire talks about the vine and the vine grower. From John chapter 15. She quotes this in the letter, John chapter 15. And I want to read that very briefly, beginning at the first verse. I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We were given that image right at the start of the service today of Mary and Joseph looking for a room for Mary to have her baby in, this baby that was born that would be Jesus, that was Jesus. David mentioned that to us. And David also spoke about our hearts being like a room, and what kind of room our hearts are. Are our hearts an open, welcoming room to receive God? Or are our hearts, do our hearts have a sign saying no vacancy over them? Or not just right at the moment, I think was another phrase you used, not quite ready to receive you at the moment, Lord. It strikes me that in this passage from John 15, and in that first letter that Claire sent to Agnes, as she quotes from John chapter 15, that Claire is saying to Agnes, what are the things that you need to shed from your life that are preventing the Lord from being so central for you in your way of life as a follower of Jesus? What are the bits of you as a branch that need to be pruned? That's the image that we have. My father is the vine grower from John 15. What are the things that we need to shed? What are the things that need to die about us so that we may fully grow into the people that God intends us to be? What signs are there hanging over our hearts that are preventing God from coming fully into our lives? This is why Claire and Agnes inspire me today. Reading from their lives so many centuries ago and how they lived out their lives as followers of Jesus. And this is why new monasticism is inspiring me today, looking at those old ways of life. How can we reinterpret all of these things to encourage us as individuals and as a body today? And in the midst of solitude in our lives, if we can find spaces for solitude in our lives, then these are the things that we can begin to reflect on with God as God guides us. We can ask God, what are the things about my life that need to die in order for you to come more fully into relationship with me, or the other way around? What are the things that need to die about me that I may come more fully into relationship with you, God? Those aren't easy things for us to do. In fact, they can be quite difficult at times. It can be very difficult for us to find solitude. That's why I wanted you to try and identify those places and sources of noise in your own life. They can be difficult to set aside. It can be difficult to find space. It can be a very difficult question to ask of God, what are the things about me that need to die so that I can become more fully the person you wish me to be, God? When we look at ourselves, often we look at ourselves in a better light than we are. And it can be a difficult question to think about our own imperfections and the things that keep God from us. But here's something else, having said that, that Claire says to Agnes that inspires me today too, and it's about perseverance. It's about not giving up on the way of life that God has called us to. In, I think it's the third letter that we have that Claire sent to Agnes. I'll read you the start of the letter. It says, to the daughter of the King of Kings, the servant of the Lord of Lords, the most worthy spouse of Jesus Christ, and therefore the most noble queen, Lady Agnes. Claire, the useless and unworthy servant of the poor ladies. Greetings and a wish for your perseverance in the life of the highest poverty. Agnes had given up so much in her life that was about all the noble life that she had, so much privilege and wealth, to live a life of extreme poverty, which is the way St. Francis saw Jesus living. That Claire wants to inspire and encourage Agnes to keep on going in the life she'd been called to. That is why Claire wishes for Agnes a continued perseverance in the life that she's been called to. In that letter, Agnes continues to read encouraging words from Claire. "You have held fast to the footprints of him to whom you have merited to be joined as a spouse." Agnes was following in the footsteps of Christ. But Claire was saying to her, "You need to keep on going." And that's a message for us today as well. That kind of message that Claire sent to Agnes, that Francis sent to Claire, that Francis received from the Lord. Persevere in the life to which you have been called. It's a message for all of us today as we seek to live out our lives as followers of Jesus. Perseverance in the life means finding space and time to listen to where God is leading us as individuals, so that we can find our part in our contribution to the community that we're a part of. That's why solitude is so important for these new communities right around the world that are having an impact on their locality. And as we seek those times of solitude, God will guide us to the things about our lives that are preventing us from having as full a relationship as we can with our Lord. The things that we need to cut off, the things that we need to shed about our lives. And most of all, we're encouraged by all of these people. I find encouragement anyway, and I hope perhaps you do as well, that we continue, that we persevere in the life that we have been called to. In our own place, whether that's a place of work or where we live, or here in this church, that we get involved as a community in all of these things as we seek God's guidance. I want to finish with these words from Claire to Agnes, by way of encouragement, as they were meant for Agnes, encouragement for us today in perseverance. "What you hold, may you always hold. What you do, may you always do and never abandon. But with swift pace, light step and unswerving feet, so that even your steps stir up no dust. Go forward securely, joyfully, and swiftly on the path of prudent happiness, believing nothing, agreeing with nothing which would dissuade you from this resolution, or which would place a stumbling block for you on the way, so that you may offer your vows to the Most High in the pursuit of that perfection to which the Spirit of the Lord has called you." Solitude, the shedding of the things that prevent us from having a full relationship with God, and perseverance on the way. May we be encouraged today to find all of those things in the midst of our own lives. Amen. I want us to take a few moments of quietness as we sit with these